Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com. Support for The Common comes from Davis-Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
What was the most awkward Boston dating story you've ever heard?
Okay. The most awkward dating story, I think this one is pretty infamous, is we set up a woman with a man who lived in a van. And people will never let that go. He lived in a van.
Down by the river?
Down by the river.
Wow, really?
I mean, I don't know, literally down by the river, but that's what he told her when he got on the date, that he was like a comedian and he lived in a van, and she was not impressed.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Melissa Shore, you are a contributing editor of the Boston Globe Sunday Magazine. But you're here because you are also the editor for the column Dinner with Cupid. For those who don't know what that is, tell us about it.
So Dinner with Cupid is a column that's been running in the Boston Globe Sunday Magazine for about 14 years. What we do is every week we take two Boston area singles. We set them up on a completely blind date. So all they know is each other's first names. We pick a local restaurant. We send them out for the night. And then they report back to us and tell us how the date went. The Boston Globe started this column originally inspired by the Washington Post, which had a similar column called Dating Lab. And it's been running ever since then. And I've been managing it for about 7 years.
So, Melissa, tell me, who is in your application pool?
So
I want names. No, I'm joking.
I can't give names, but I will say, I mean, we have probably about over 3,000 daters right now in our database. And, you know, they come from all walks of life. They have to be 21 and up, but they can come from anywhere in the greater Boston and New England area. We get people of all persuasions, backgrounds, cultures, and ages, really. You know, we even hear people up to their 60s and 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that includes gender identity, too, right? Everybody's welcome.
Oh, everybody's welcome. Absolutely.
With Cupid, you know, when you're setting up a date for folks, what are you thinking about? You know, there must be so many factors to consider.
You know, after years of doing this, I wish I could give you the answer, because the age-old debate of should we have things in common or do opposites attract? And I have to say, I honestly still don't know the answer to that. Honestly, sometimes I will match up people who seem to have so much in common and they get along great and they find out they, you know, were lived next door to each other growing up and had all the same backgrounds. And then they say, well, it felt like my sister or brother. They don't like that. Then you set up someone who's completely opposites. Let's put people together from different worlds and they'll have so much to talk about. And they say, I don't know why we were put on this date together. We had nothing in common. So, you know, what is the answer? I mean, maybe we're looking for the wrong thing. Sometimes I think the truest thing, why two couples get along, you know, maybe more than, oh, we both have an interest in a similar hobby, tennis, or we both like to watch the same TV show. It's probably deeper than that. It's more about your values, you know, where you're coming from, that kind of connection. And that's really hard to tell from a person's application.
Now, I imagine this is a very exciting time for you because it is the Valentine's Day season. You know, this is a time where we are thinking a lot about romantic love and also how tough it is to find. How bad is it out there? I'm just going to ask you flat out.
It is bad. I say that having set up singles every week for probably, you know, I've been doing it personally for 7 years. And I will tell you, I'm very distraught because I have never had a wedding. And I would assume that if there were a wedding for one of these dates, I'd be getting an invitation. And I have not gotten an invitation. So sadly, it is rough out there. And I wish we had the solution. What I hear from our daters, you know, we got everyone together to celebrate our 10th anniversary of the column. And what I heard from them is just that Boston is rough. You know, there's a lot of people here career focused. Maybe they're here for grad school. They don't always stick around for a long time. The dating apps are just brutal. And they come to us looking for something different. So many people say, a blind date is so unique because nowadays, usually when you find someone and you set up a date, what do? First, you Google them, right? And then you know everything about them before you even go on the date.
What's the fun in that?
Exactly. So, I mean, we offer this chance, the mystery, the romance of going into it completely, a person completely new to them, and then see what happens.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Melissa.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. I would imagine, you know, it takes a certain type of person to want to apply for Dinner with Cupid. So what exactly are you hearing from people about dating in Boston when they come to you?
I mean, again, just that, you know, they're fed up with the dating apps. They want to try something different. And I would also say, you know, we're coming off 2 years of pandemic. So just to flash back for a moment how that affected Boston daters, right? I mean, that was 2 years of people in their prime that they really had taken away from them. And when pandemic first hit, first of all, at the column, we panicked. How are we going to set people up on dinner dates when, you know, nobody can even leave their home? I would say for the first 6 months, people loved it. We were giving them a connection to the outside world that people were starved for. And it was so exciting to them. We had them order takeout from local restaurants and each do a Zoom date. I would say by year two, the Zoom dating was getting really tired and people were basically begging me, can we please go back to real life in-person dating? They really craved that. The thing about doing a Cupid date that's really fantastic is it is the one way that you can get feedback on your dating style. And what I mean is when you go on a dating app and somebody doesn't care for you and they, what do? They ghost you, right? You never hear from them again. Yeah. You never know why. Yeah. You can't get any feedback. You don't have a mutual friend that you can say, hey, find out why they didn't call me back. With Cupid, right, we force people to say why. Why didn't you like that person? And so you can basically get a review on your dating style. You know, were you rude to the wait staff? Were you talking about yourself too much and never even asked the other person about themselves? So I think it's a fantastic way to sort of find out how you're perceived on romantically.
On its face, it seems like it might be a little mean or awkward, but that gives you a chance to go home and reflect on what you could do better, you know?
Absolutely.
Be nice to the wait staff. Ask more questions. And Melissa, correct me if I'm wrong, but in addition to people giving their feedback about the date for the other one to contemplate on, hopefully, they can also grade how the date went, right?
Right. So every column ends with the people saying two things, whether or not they're going to go on a second date. Then we have a grading system. So now I guess that's the confusing part. A lot of people think it means they're grading each other. What we'd really like to think of it as is they're grading how the date went, right? And I have to say, the most heartbreaking thing as the Cupid editor is when you see one person give it like an A+ and they really like the person and want a second date, and the other one is not on the same page. Those are the ones that are the real heartbreakers, I think.
So how have you seen dating change over time in Boston through the column?
I think it's been really stable. I think it's the everlasting search for love. I think that's timeless. I don't think that has changed. The blind date thing is obviously unique, although it's a tricky thing, I think, the blind date. It's from another era. And I think maybe it's one flaw, I would say, is it takes away the art of the chase, right? The art of meeting someone and that flirtation back and forth, are we going to connect or not? On a blind date, you're put in the room and you're sitting there wondering, why am I being told this is the person for me? So it sort of takes all that energy, I think that romantic energy, out of the equation. But you'll always see, I mean, we will have, many of our commenters love to say that they were set up on a blind date. So it definitely can work. And I'm going to keep hoping. I'm going to keep trying to get that wedding invitation.
Don't give up.
If they're not giving up,
you can't give up.
If they keep applying, we'll keep setting them up.
Yeah. So Dinner with Cupid is not an advice column, but, you know, you edit that column, therefore you're doing the work. You're seeing what people are going through. What kind of advice do you have for singles looking for love in Boston for Valentine's Day and beyond?
Well, obviously, put yourself out there. You never know where you'll find love. Try everything. Try the apps. Try off the apps. Try old-fashioned in real life. Try Dinner with Cupid. And then when you go on the date, be on your good behavior, you know, show up on time, be respectful to the other person, maybe put your phone away.
Wear a shirt.
wear a shirt and shoes, always good. Yeah, clean up nicely. People do appreciate that. They always comment on that. You know, treat your date well, handle it with grace. If you're not interested, be upfront with them and give them an honest answer, I think.
100%. My last question.
Well, actually, let me ask you a question. How did you meet your partner?
Oh, I met my partner on the apps.
Oh,
met
no. On Hinge. Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was right before the pandemic. And so we kept in touch. And I mean, like, our last date, early date, was right before the shutdown. I think it was like the day before the shutdown. This was in Philly. So Philly shut down the next day. And then, yeah, we just we kept talking. And eventually we became, you know, pod buddies, whatever you call that. And yeah, we're still rocking. We're about to hit 3 years at the end of the month.
Wow. All pandemic dating. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Shout out to my lady. all right. So my last question for you is, how would you grade this interview?
Oh, my goodness. Of course an A. Of course we'll give it an A.
Okay.
We believe in the great inflation at Cupid. Everyone deserves a little bump up for trying, right?
All right. I'll take it. Melissa, thank you so much for talking with us. This has been delightful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And best of luck. And let's wish for love for all the lovers out there, right?
Yes. Everybody out there. I wish you nothing but the best. I hope you find love. And most importantly, I hope that love is for yourself. Love yourself, and it'll all make sense. That's Melissa Shore, contributing editor to the Boston Globe Sunday Magazine and editor of Dinner with Cupid. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have a sweet love story you want to share with us, hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.